They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
From government bailout to initial stock offering, the trajectory of a bank called Ally.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Ally Financial, which is trading on the New York Stock Exchange today for the first time under the ticker symbol ALLY. This is a company that under a different name, GMAC, had to be bailed out by the government in 2008. Its initial public offering may be good news for taxpayers. Marketplace's Adrian Hill is here with some context. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, David.
So walk me through this. Remind me of the timeline.
Yeah, Ally used to be the lending arm of General Motors. It was GMAC. And it got in trouble during the financial crisis and had to be bailed out as part of TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Since then, the U.S. has owned about a third of the company. And now through this IPO, it started selling off the stake. The sale is going to raise about $2.4 billion for taxpayers.
Does that mean the government's made back its investment in Ally?
It has. Ally ended up taking $17.2 billion from the government as part of the bailout. Before this IPO, they'd actually paid most of that back. So taxpayers are going to see a small profit here on the money that went into the company.
Yeah, you're talking TARP here and making money back on investments. Where does the government stand overall on its bailout money?
Better than you might think. The government says it's made some profit here in the neighborhood of $15 billion.
All right. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you.
Thank you.
There's news today that Russia might have to reconfigure its budget to help pay to fix up what used to be the Crimean region of Ukraine. Russia's first deputy prime minister told the German daily Die Welt today that he thinks it'll be okay to borrow more, given that Russia has added 2 million Crimeans. Meanwhile, Ukraine is still not paying for the natural gas it gets from Russia. Ian Bremmer is president of the Eurasia Group, a consulting firm that uses political science to help business and market players. Ian, great to talk to you again.
My pleasure, David.
So Ukraine, Russia owns the natural gas company. That company has increased the costs of natural gas to the point that Ukrainian officials are saying they won't pay. Gazprom says it's simply ending the discount. Now, gas you don't think is going to get cut off to Ukraine.
Well, they've cut off gas and used gas as a lever on many occasions, typically wintertime when they need it more, but, sort of crisis knows no calendar. This has never been about cash for Russia. It's always been about owning Ukraine.
Now, did you see that Gazprom is working on an imminent deal to sell natural gas to China at a time that Europe is thinking about alternatives to Russian gas?
Not surprised. Putin has a very big trip planned for Beijing in the coming month, and he certainly wants to ink a large deal. He wants to show the world Russia has plenty of options. Kerry's policy has been, we will isolate you, Russia. Well, you know, it's really hard to isolate the Russians when the Chinese want absolutely nothing to do with this policy. They're the world's second largest economy, and they'd be delighted to take more energy from the Russians.
Now, Ian, companies, I imagine, are calling you all the time asking where Russia is going with Ukraine. I know your top scenario is not more Russian tanks, but what are you expecting?
My big issue for the markets is this present equilibrium post-taking Crimea is not stable. The Russians view the existing Ukrainian government as illegitimate, and they intend to destabilize it. The easiest way is to ensure the elections that are being planned presently do not go ahead as legitimate. And that's probably their best option, because I don't think they would be able to buy the elections. Most Ukrainians have huge animosity towards Russia, given what's happened in the last few weeks. And also, they've lost 1.5 million Russian votes by annexing Crimea. So those are people that can't participate in the Ukrainian election.
Ian Bremmer, president of New York-based Eurasia Group, is also a global research professor at New York University. Ian, thank you.
Thanks, David.
If you give a teenager $50, data show more of it will go to food than to clothes. That's according to a Piper Jaffray report on teen spending out this week. If this annoys Old Navy or Abercrombie, maybe they can blame Starbucks, specifically Starbucks. Kate Davidson reports.
Stephanie Wissink says it's the survey's first time showing food trumping clothing as a percentage of the teen wallet. She's a research analyst with Piper Jaffray.
Food, of course, is the one category that isn't e-commerceable.
It's hard to replicate a cup of coffee, a double chocolatey chip frappuccino blended cream, online. And teens aren't usually buying household groceries, so
when they indicate they're spending more on food, that most likely means they're also frequenting food locations more regularly.
Like Starbucks. Wissing says it's a misconception that today's teens want to be alone with their phones. She says data shows they actually want to be together with their phones, just in restaurants, not malls. Morningstar analyst RJ Hadavi agrees. Starbucks is succeeding as a gathering place. Also,
Starbucks probably has the most widely used app at the point of sale system. So when people are making purchases, their app is used for one in every five purchases at this point.
He thinks that technology appeals to a mobile savvy audience like teens. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And the Social Security Administration keeps track of the first names given to newborns in America. And there's news that ahead of even Betsy or Nadine is Khaleesi, 146 of them for 2012, the most recent year that data is available. Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. Note that while Daenerys is the Dragon Mom's character's name, Khaleesi is her honorific. So naming somebody Khaleesi is a little like naming somebody Earl or Queenie. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.